You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In Yuyun Lee's latest book, Dear Friend, From My Life I Write to You in Your Life, she writes about leaving letters unsent as an act of exclusion and perhaps even cruel. And she shares her most personal thoughts and those of writers she most admires as told through their letters and journal entries. Ms. Lee is the award-winning author of four works of fiction. The New Yorker has named her one of the 20 under 40 fiction writers to watch. Dear Friend is published by Random House, and I'm very pleased it has brought Yuyun Lee to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Where does the title of your book come from?
The title came from one entry from Catherine Mansfield's journal. This was late in her life, and she wrote just out of nowhere, out of context, she said, "Dear friend, from my life, I write to you in your life."
You seem to have a special affinity for Catherine Mansfield's writing.
Yes.
Why her? I mean, she's a great writer, but there are a lot of great writers.
There are, and you know, I wouldn't call her my favorite writer. I mean, I love a lot of writers. I love her stories. But just to read her journal and how honest and how brutal she was in her journal towards herself and towards other people, that really was striking to me. And that was why I was drawn to her.
Did you intend this book to be a letter or a collection of personal essays?
I would say, in my head, in my mind, it's a letter. It's a long letter.
Addressed to whom?
Addressed to someone called Dear Reader. Or Dear Friend.
Now, that was something that writers would have actually included in a novel in the past. They would say, Dear Reader, our hero now has done such and such. That's something nobody would do anymore.
No, but, you know, the reading part is as important as writing part. That's a book's life, because a book cannot live without being read.
Could you have written this about most contemporary writers? Because few people write long letters anymore, and people don't keep the same kinds of journals they used to.
Yeah, I think maybe modern technology has changed our way of processing things, our way of communicating with others. But if you go back to history and people, you know, kept journals and they wrote letters constantly to one another, and they were quite a rich resource for a reader.
The historian Doris Kearns Goodwin says she can't imagine writing a biography of a modern politician because there's no correspondence, and she relied so much on that.
You just have to find the email archive.
Your first chapter is made up of numbered vignettes of thoughts, theories, and memories. They feel like entries in a writer's journal, and I'm assuming they're yours. But then you abandon that approach.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the first essay was written while I was having a difficult time. And sometimes when you have a difficult time, time stops. That's what I learned. Time stands still. So when I was writing that, I thought I would write an essay with 24 segments, with corresponding to 24 hours a day, and see how, you know, during those 24 hours, how your mind evolves and how your mind stands still. So that's the structure of the first essay. But I'm not committed to everything. I mean, it's not everything has to be so structured.
And then this book functions kind of like literary criticism as well. And you write about Ivan Turgenev and, as we said, Catherine Mansfield, but also Philip Larkin, Marianne Moore. So we're going from novelists to poets. And, are these writers who have had a special significance for you?
Yes, these are the writers I was reading. As I said, I had a couple years of difficult time, and these were the writers I read during the time, and they were my close friends.
And you write in the Two Lives chapter, I have given up on many novels that bore me, but I've never given up following a writer's journey in letters or journal midway. What do you find in a writer's letters or journals that's absent in the writing that they chose to publish?
Yeah. You know, one thing is all letters and journals are written in the moment. No, nobody goes back. Few people go back to revise their letters and journals for publishing. So you could follow their life journey in letters and journals.
Do you think it might be an invasion of privacy on some level to read such personal writing?
Absolutely. For instance, now I'm reading Willa Cather's letters. And she did not mean the letters to be published and to be read. So, you know, in a way, I think we readers are in a better position than the writers.
Now, you were born in Beijing. Mm-hmm. I guess Mandarin is your first language.
Yes.
Why do you prefer to write in English?
I had never written anything in Chinese. And two, I think really distancing myself from Chinese, from my mother language, it's a way to distance myself from the past. And for me, English provides this space in which I can explore a lot of things.
A number of the finest writers who grew up with other languages wound up becoming great English writers, yes. English language writers, Joseph Conrad, mm-hmm. Vladimir Nabokov,
yeah.
And even more recently, another Chinese writer, Ha Jin,
yes.
writes wonderfully in English. Is there something about English?
English is a welcoming language. Someone emailed me. It's actually Laurie Moore emailed me and said English is a welcoming language, which actually I thought was true.
Salman Rushdie has written that people who grow up in a different language enrich English when they write in English. How does the meaning change when you, who I don't know whether you think in Chinese mm-hmm. anymore, but you probably think sometimes in Chinese as well as in English, when you write it all down in English?
I think in English and I write in English, so I rarely process things in Chinese. I only do my math in Chinese now.
In fact, you've written, over the years, my brain has banished Chinese in an effort to be orphaned from my past.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, being orphaned from your language or your first language is also a way to grow up and to become, you know, another person in a way. Not to say to remake myself, but I do think that's a way to start something new.
Well, why did you want to leave China? What was your life like in Beijing? And why did you leave?
I was probably among the last generation who, you know, grew up before China became an economically, you know, strong country. And at the time...
So you lived under Mao.
Yes. And even after Mao, you know, post-Tiananmen Square, it was not the most bright moment in Chinese history. And personally, I just wanted to leave China because, you know, as a child, you always wanted to see the world.
But hadn't you served in the army?
I did.
Were you there during Tiananmen Square?
No, it was 2 years after Tiananmen Square. I was in the army in 1991 to 1992.
What is a Jane Eyre hat, and what does it have to do with this story?
Yes, because, you know, we talked about... this happened during the 25th anniversary of Tiananmen Square massacre, and people asked me to write or to talk about the massacre. And I realized when I was thinking about it, there are things it's really hard to talk about in public, which include what you mentioned, Jane Eyre hat, which was a kind of sun hat in 1980s in China. They were in the shape of the Victorian bonnet. They were always called Jane Eyre hats.
And why were they popular?
Because...
They kept the sun out.
They kept the sun out, but also they looked quite fancy as a Victorian, you know, hat. So my sister got a hat donated to the students protesters. And afterwards, my father purged the hat. My father threw away the hat, which made me very sad.
I'm speaking with Yiyun Lee, whose latest book is Dear Friend, From My Life, I Write to You in Your Life. It's published by Random House. Your first work of nonfiction?
Yes.
When you started writing, were you writing in Chinese? Well, when I say Chinese, I should be saying in Mandarin, because there are so many different Chineses.
Right.
Although the writing is pretty much all the same, no matter what dialect.
Yes, most of them are the same. No, when I first started writing, I started in English. So Chinese was never a written language. I mean, Chinese was not my creative language for me. So English, I always say, it's my first language in writing.
So you didn't start writing until you were fairly older.
Oh, much older.
How old were you?
I was turning 30 when I started writing in English.
You were once described as an example of the American dream. Do you think there is such a thing as the American dream?
Well, you know, superficially, I guess there is a superficial American dream, but that only stays on the surface.
But you write that the last thing you want to be called is a dreamer.
Yes. You know, I think that almost puts you really, as I said, that as I wrote in the book, that almost puts you on the back of the bus, on the ad, almost like a pretty face.
You write that to own a house, language, or dream is to allow oneself to be owned. And how so?
You know, I think this owning and being owned, we cannot own something without being owned. You know, we want to have money, but sometimes we become the slave of the money.
Do you think that this is something you're more aware of because you grew up in Maoist China, and China went through that transition where at one point you could go to jail for being a profiteer, and then you were celebrated for making a profit?
Yeah, I'm sure that's on the back of my mind, you know, seeing the history of the country. But even, you know, if you look at any country's history, I think it's human desire, it's human nature that once we want something, we become something's slave.
You write that a word you hate to use in English is I, and you would like to abolish the word you. Why? That would make it very hard for a writer, wouldn't it? Especially if you want to write in first person.
Impossible, isn't it? No, I grew up in Chinese, and in China we rarely use I. I think, you know, for a reason we use we instead of I. Not to claim responsibility or just to...
Yeah, but what do you do when you're saying, I have to go to the bathroom? We don't have to go to the bathroom.
Right. You say, got to go to the bathroom. You skipped
I.
You don't claim that individuality in Chinese often. So, but I think coming into English, crossing the border from Chinese to English, a lot of things are comfortable, natural to me, but that I is not.
So what happened when you wrote memoir?
It's a highly challenging task. Well, sometimes I just use one instead of I. English language is generous to offer that word.
And why are you so upset with the word I? It's perfectly okay. I'm more uncomfortable when people say, Yiyun wants to, likes this or something. The people who refer to themselves with their own names.
I know. That's a little weird, isn't it? Yeah, I think... The more I think about it, the more it's almost like inexplicable, my sort of shying away from the word I.
Well, you can still write about yourself in fiction, and it's generally thought that there's a scene in your novella Kindness that was really autobiographical, but you could avoid making the claim for yourself?
Fiction sometimes offers a good protection. You can hide behind the characters, you can hide behind the words. With nonfiction, with memoir, you really have to come out from that hiding.
Much of this book deals with suicide. Why has that become such a central theme of your writing?
It was from personal experience. I had, you know, two attempts during 1 year.
And was it a serious depression that you went through?
Yeah, I think there are different diagnoses in the end, but I think for me the symptoms were just suicidal thoughts and hospitalizations and doing a year. So part of the book was written to explore that dark period.
And you write that your intention is not to defend suicide, but just to talk about what's most misunderstood about it?
Yes, I think sometimes we think people who commit suicide or who even think about suicide as selfish, and missing the point that sometimes for people who are in extreme pain or extreme situations, they really don't have a self to start with, and you can't call it selfish. And sometimes people are judgmental for all sorts of reasons. And I think, yeah, my goal is not to defend, but just to say we need to look at it more closely.
But you also have written about people who write about death or with death in mind, even if they're not thinking of suicide. You write that Tolstoy ended his journals with the Russian initials for "If I Live." Yes. He was an old man at the time, wasn't he?
Well, he wasn't so old when he started that habit. He would say, "If I live," and then every month, at the beginning of the month, he said, one month closer to death. So clearly Tolstoy had that in mind all the time.
Yeah, most of us don't think that way. After you hit a certain age, you might start thinking, well, I don't have that much more to go.
Yeah.
If global warming destroys the world, I won't know just how bad it's going to become. But then you think, well, my children or my grandchildren, will have to suffer through it.
Yeah.
But that's very different than making it a personal thing.
Yeah, I think for some people, time or the lack of time is acute.
You also write about etymology here. Do you think etymology helps writers?
Personally, I'm curious about etymology because I come into English as a second language. So every time I see a word, I want to know the origin of the word.
To some degree, that may come out of the nature of Chinese writing, because when you write a Chinese character, you always have to start with a certain stroke and then add other strokes, which to some degree tell you about the development of that word.
Mm-hmm. And also Chinese characters do have a long, evolving history from one word. But English, too, if you look up the dictionary, my pastime is just to look at etymologies of words.
You also include a partial list of books at the end of this book. What's a partial list?
A partial list. This list of books were the books that were talked about in one way or another in writing this memoir.
So you may have other favorite books that just never got mentioned.
Right. So, like, for instance, I don't think Moby Dick get onto the list, even though Moby Dick is one of my favorite novels.
And what appeals to you about Moby Dick, not that it isn't a masterpiece?
I mean, Moby Dick, to me, it's funny you ask, because I read Moby Dick and War and Peace each year, like once a year.
And you get something different out of it every
time? Yes, yes. I think War and Peace is this extreme, like, sublime realism, while Moby Dick is a sublime of metaphors.
Yiyun Lee is the author of four works of fiction, and this book, which is a kind of an odd duck but wonderful, called Dear Friend, From My Life, I Write to You. It is published by Random... Oh, I Write to You in Your Life, I'm sorry. It's published by Random House. Thank you so much for being on our show again.
Thank you for having me.